Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
So I'll run to the Father and fall into grace. What a beautiful worship song that helps us remember our Heavenly Father is waiting with open arms. And what a better day for that reminder than on Father's Day. Whether you're watching online or in the room, we're happy to have you with us this Father's Day. Thank you for spending a portion of your day with us. Another way to worship and connect to our Father is through reading God's Word. Today kicks off the next installment of the Bible reading plan. So together as a church, we're reading through the Bible following a reading plan that's specific to WCC. I know personally, I've enjoyed following along each week. I feel engaged in God's Word. I know I'm connected with others in the body who are also reading along. And I've really enjoyed reading the weekly devotionals written from various people from WCC. Some of the books we'll be reading this round include Romans, Philippians, and in August, we're reading the book of Proverbs, one chapter each day for the 31 days in the month. You can find the Bible reading plan on our website, on the WCC app, or if you would like a paper copy, you can stop by the Info Center. If you are new to WCC, we would love to connect with you. To help us do that, simply fill out a connection card by going to the website or by stopping by the Info Center. We're glad you're here today, and we would love to personally welcome you. Another way we can worship God is through our tithes and offering. Because of your generosity, ministry is able to continue, both within our community and within the church. Giving options include online through our website, through the WCC app, or you can simply drop it in the baskets near the exits on your way out this morning. However you choose to give, we thank you for your continued generosity. Now, let's prepare our hearts and mind as we hear today's message. Please join with me in prayer. God, you are a perfect Father that loves us unconditionally. You are love and you are grace. Thank you for the fathers in our lives. Help us to love them and honor them today and every day. May our hearts be open as we listen to today's message, and may you speak through Scott as he shares your word. Amen.
Hey, good morning, church. Let's try that again. Good morning, church. Hey, awesome. And for those of you that are online, just type a quick good morning in there. It'll be great to hear from you, those of you that are watching online. It's good to be together, and I'll reiterate what several people have said so far. Happy Father's Day, whatever that means to you. I know that has lots of feelings and emotions, as Jason mentioned, but either way, we want to be able to celebrate with you today. You know, we are kicking off a new series today called On Purpose, about living our life on purpose. And if you missed last week, Aaron did a fantastic job wrapping up the series last week where we looked at the book of Acts. Now, that was the first part of the book of Acts. And then later in the year, we're going to get back to the rest of the book of Acts. And we've got a plan over the next year to plow through the entire book. But today we're starting this new series where we're talking about living our lives on purpose. And if that sounds familiar to you, if you've been here a little while, it's because we've been, it's been a theme that we've been baking into everything that we're doing about living on mission, about living our lives on mission, that God has given each of us a personal mission, and that we have a corporate mission. We have a very specific thing that God wants us to do in this community as a church, WCC, but that requires all of us to be doing our part, to be living on mission personally. So it's one thing, and I've taught these messages before, where we talk about this big mission that the church has, and I love that. I'm a sucker for vision and mission, and yeah, like, let's go, let's charge the hill. But a lot of times it's easy when we talk about that big church mission, that great big organization mission, to kind of fall back into the background and go, okay, Well, that's great. I'm a part of an organization. I'm a part of something, a group of people that's on this great big mission. And so I'll just kind of hang out and drift and follow and watch and I'll celebrate. But what's my part? But here's the deal. We don't actually get off the hook. That's a fish joke. See, we're in a series on purpose and we're using a fish. Okay. Oh, we don't get off the hook there. It's actually, we have a personal mission, something that God has called each of us to do as well. And our hope is that as we look at this series for the next several weeks, and we're gonna kind of go back and forth from the corporate mission and the organizational mission to our personal mission. We're going to be dancing back and forth on purpose because they go together. Those play together. So today, if you brought your Bibles with us, or if you're watching online, you want to look on your phone, we're going to spend some time in the Old Testament book of Jonah. We're going to look at this prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. And I love looking at some of these Old Testament characters. I don't always like looking at some of the ones that are so, let's just say, so popular. It's interesting, when I say Jonah, if you grew up in a church context, you have likely cut out some coloring book figure of something in the story of Jonah. You watched someone step to a flannel graph or a transparency, or you watched a video of this story of Jonah. That's why sometimes I don't like teaching on these familiar passages, because people can go, oh, I know where this is headed. So I'm just going to hop on Amazon and I'm going to go ahead and get some shopping done. I'm going to work ahead right now because I know where this is going. Or do you? Jonah chapter 1 starts out like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, if we just pause right there, first off, if we pause right there, if we stop right there, this is a great opening to a book. We get kind of the introduction to Jonah. We learn, we're not going to go into who his dad was, but Jonah, we're seeing that he's a real character. He's not fiction. He's a historical character. We have some genealogy there. If we really wanted to, we could go back, research the genealogy of who Amittai was and who Jonah was and where they lived. So we have a real character, and God sends him somewhere. Now, that's awesome if you know nothing about Nineveh, which as a little kid, all I knew is that Nineveh was this place where God wanted to send him. If it's a vacation destination, that's awesome, right? If he's sending him on a road trip, that sounds great. But we can't stop there. We have to keep reading. Go to the great city of Nineveh. This is your mission that he's been given. Go to the great city of Nineveh, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach against it. Now, I get to preach and teach, and I get to be a communicator. There's some fun messages to preach. There's a lot of really fun messages to preach. Like, hey, can you inspire people to do this? Can you coach people in this? Can you motivate people in this? And then when you get to a text that you realize that someone has assigned you, and they say, this is the text that you get, and you realize it's about correction. Those are no fun. Not only that, Jonah gets a correction for an entire people group. I need you to go to this entire city, and I need you to preach against them. Because this city, their wickedness has come up before me. Now, so here's what we're going to discover in the book of Jonah. What I want you to look for, I want you to look for it with me. We're going to look for the reasons to swim upstream. That's what we're going to be looking for in this text. We're going to read all of Jonah chapter 1. It's only 17 verses, so don't get too scared on Father's Day. We'll get you out in plenty of time for brunch, okay? So we're going to look at all of Jonah chapter 1, and I want you to help me look for and to discover the reasons that we should swim upstream. Because what we're going to see is Jonah is a character who just kind of goes with the flow. He's kind of doing what everyone else is doing. God gives him a very clear assignment. Jonah, I want you to do this. And you're going to be swimming upstream. Jonah, the people are doing this, and I want you to go and tell them this. Jonah, the people are doing bad. I want you to go and instruct them and correct them and tell them to do what I want them to do. God's challenging Jonah to live and to swim upstream. Let me ask you, have you ever received an assignment from God that you didn't want? Have you ever received this nudge? And okay, this is hard because in Jonah, God instructs him. God speaks to him and says, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. If you're like me, God's never spoken to me. Like I've never been laying in bed in the morning, like my alarm goes off, and then I hear God say, Scott, get up and do this. Like I've never heard that. But let me ask a different question. Have you ever felt the Lord nudge you? Like the Holy Spirit, if you have accepted Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit nudging you to do something that you didn't want to do? Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit nudging you to give up something you didn't want to give up? You ever felt the Holy Spirit nudging you to talk to a person that you don't even like or a person you don't even know, or to send a note or to drop a check in the mail? Because if you've ever sensed that in your life, and my guess is some of you are, you know, are playing along and you're like, yeah, that's what Jonah was getting. It was scaled up, okay, it's a little bigger, but we've all experienced that. Well, there's some reasons to swim upstream. Number one, the first reason that we see is because God was looking at these people that were in the city of Nineveh, and he speaks to Jonah. He says, I want you to go there. Now, in my world, and you've probably even heard me say this publicly, I love the passage that says God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. I love that. Love that principle. And so I've used that in my life. I'm like, oh, God can see what I can't see. God can see these things that I can't see. God can see what I can't see. And what I'm realizing in the book of Jonah, not only can God see what I cannot see, God can see who we can't see. Think about that for a second. Think of the difference. When I just use the phrase, well, God can see what we can't see, well, then his instruction is for our protection. Right? Well, God's trying to help me to avoid danger. God's trying to help me stay out of trouble. God's trying to help me not get hurt. But when I flip it, when I twist it just a little bit and realize this, that God sees who we can't see, the game changes. Because that's what God was saying to Jonah. Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh, and this has nothing to do with you. There are people wrapped in sin and wickedness in Nineveh. And Jonah, this isn't about you. This is about them. So I need you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to preach against their wickedness, and I need them to know me. So there's several reasons to swim upstream. The first reason I think we discover is that God sees who we can't see. We have no idea whose life hangs in the balance when God gives us instruction. But the story goes on. If you know the story, if you're familiar with it, in verse 3, Jonah gets his instruction, he gets his assignment, writes it down, got it, crystal clear. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. If you look on a map, Nineveh is east, Tarshish far west. Picture Tarshish, where Jonah was at near Jerusalem. He's going west to Spain instead of east to Turkey and that region over there. Okay, Jonah ran away from the Lord, headed for Tarshish. I love the description we get here. He went down to Joppa, so it's a real city, where he found a ship bound for that port. He pays for the fare. He goes aboard and sails for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I love reading scripture because sometimes, I've read this story, I've heard this story, but when I read it again this week, when I read it anew, when I read it fresh again, I realized, look at the extent that the author tells us all the things that Jonah did. Jonah found a boat, so he finds transportation to go to Joppa, right? So he secures transportation to go there, and then once he gets there, he finds a boat. He comes up with the money. Who knows how he had the money? Did he borrow the money? Did he take out of his savings? Did he cash in his kid's college fund? We don't know, but he grabs the money somehow. He secures a ticket. Look at all the things that he does to go out of his way to go against the very thing that God has asked him to do. And I read that and I go, that's crazy. I can't believe a person would do that, would go to all those extremes to avoid what God wants him to do. And then I start to look inside my own self. And I start to think, oh my goodness, what are the things that I have done that I have gone so far out of my way to avoid the things that God has asked me to do? How have I insulated my life in a way to protect me and to avoid the very thing that God has asked me to do? I could either just look at Jonah and go, that's crazy, or I could look inside and go, God, where have I done that? Where have I gone out of my way to protect myself and to avoid the call that you've put on my life? There are seasons of my life that I'm very proud of that I can look back and go, man, I did what the Lord asked me to do. And then there are other seasons where I can tell you, oh, here's the bus ticket I bought. Here's where I, you know, where I didn't do that. Here's where I ran the other way. Here's where I did that. It's easy to see that in other people. It's not always easy to identify that in ourselves. But Jonah pays for the fare, he goes aboard, and he sails for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sends a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship that he was on threatened to break up. And all of the sailors were afraid, and each of them, and this is really interesting in the text, each of them cries out to their own God. So Jonah was surrounded by people who didn't know the God that we serve. They're serving other gods, other religions. So Jonah now finds himself surrounded by people who are not, this is Old Testament, but let's just make it a New Testament reference. Jonah's surrounded by people who are not following Jesus. That's who he's surrounded by. So if you find yourself in an environment regularly where you're around people who are not following God, who aren't serving Jesus, this should be one of those things that we perk up and go, wait a minute, there may be a lesson in here for me. Jonah found himself in a context surrounded by people who were following different gods. So what does he do? They're all in trouble. And so they're just reaching for anything they can do. So they start throwing the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah goes below deck, he laid down, and he fell into a deep sleep. Jonah takes a nap. Now, there's some people that believe in napping every day, like it's a part of their philosophy, it's part of their life thing, and they do that. And there are health benefits, apparently, for this, so I'm not knocking the guy for this. But Jonah's avoiding. You see what he's doing? He's avoiding. God's got a plan. Oh, these consequences, they may be mine. You know what? I'm just going to retreat. I'm just going to go away. There's been times when God gives me a crystal clear mission and a vision and something he wants me to do, and it's easier to just go take a nap because I think I'm going to avoid it. But there's another reason that's revealed here in this that we should swim upstream. Here's the other reason. Because our decisions that we make to avoid God and his call on our life, they impact other people. You see that? Jonah wasn't just endangering himself by not following God's plan. He was endangering the people that were on the boat. He was hurting other people. So it's weird for me to think, well, but God just gave me this thing he just wants me to do. And he just kind of nudged me when I was driving that I ought to stop by that person's house and ask how they're doing. I don't want to do that. But when we avoid what it is that God is asking us to do, it impacts other people's lives. We get the opportunity in the book of Jonah to see how, but in our world, sometimes we have no idea. We just didn't do it. And we have no idea the impact that it had on other people. But it's another reason that we should surrender to God and listen to him and obey him, because our decisions impact others. So they start throwing stuff into the sea, and then the captain goes to him and he says, Jonah, wake up. How can you sleep? Get up. And call on your God, this God that you serve. Would you get everybody else's call on their God? Call on your God, and maybe he's going to take notice of us so that we're not going to die, so that we won't perish. So then the sailors, the people who were crying out to other gods, they had been hanging out with Jonah on a boat for a couple days. Probably wasn't a very big boat, so they'd gotten to know him a little bit, asked some questions of him, and he was a little vague. But the sailors go and they say to each other, come on, let's cast lots. Yeah, let's play rock, paper, scissors to find out who's responsible for this great big storm and all the calamity and everything that's going on. And they cast lots, and however this worked out, they realized Jonah is the problem. Jonah's the one to blame. So they ask Jonah, and I love this. They turn to Jonah, and they said, Jonah, tell us who's responsible for making all of this trouble for us. But they don't just ask one question. Jonah, what kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? From what people are you? You see, Jonah, The influence of God in Jonah's life created and stirred questions in other people. God's interaction with Jonah and subsequently Jonah's disobedience, it caused them to go, we're praying to our God and nothing happens. You avoid your God and all of a sudden we're all in a storm. Who the heck are you? What's going on? And Jonah's revelation, and this really becomes the turning point in the story. Jonah reveals and he answers them, I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the seas and the dry land. Jonah in this moment throws down and he claims, and he actually with his mouth, he verbalizes, the God who manages the weather, the storms, the universe, that's the one that I serve. That's who I am. I'm a Hebrew. I'm just going to call it I've surrendered my life to God. That's who I serve. I'm completely all in. I've surrendered to him. I serve him unless he tells me to go to Nineveh. But he is my God. I'll do whatever it takes unless it's going to be painful. I'll do all of those things. That's who I serve. This terrified them. We see this throughout Scripture, the fear of the Lord. Not just the fear like, whoa, power, but when people who aren't following Jesus come into the power, and when they're not following the true God, when they come into the power of the true God, it blows them away because they've been praying to their gods and nothing happens. And now they're terrified. And they look at him and said, dude, what have you done? He told you to go somewhere and you didn't, and now this happens? What have you done? They knew that he was running away from the Lord because already he had told them. You know, I'm sure you're on the ship 10 minutes, like, hey, how's it going? What's your story? Like, how'd you get here? Like, are you on a business trip? No, not really. No, I mean, kind of a business trip. I mean, God gave me business and I'm running away from the business he gave me to do. So I'm going to start another thing. I'm thinking about a startup. You know, you guys want to invest? You know, I'm going to Tarshish. You know, I'm not sure why. I'll figure it out. He'd already told him he was running from God and they're terrified. Which reveals the next reason that it's important for us to swim upstream and to do what it is that God says we should do. Because swimming with the current is confusing. Now, some of you are confused right now. You're like, what? Some of you think the current is confusing. Think about this. If we tell people we're following God, if we're telling people, oh, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, yeah, it's an important part of my life. And I follow the Lord and I serve him. And oh, yeah, my kids, you know, our kids are going to church camp this summer. And, you know, yes, we're a part of this church. And we follow God. We even go to that night of worship thing a couple times a year. And, you know, we're following God. When we tell people that and we live our lives and we tell people that, and when we live differently, when we run away from him, it's confusing. I like to use examples when I teach, and this one's embarrassing, but this defines high school and early college for me. This was my life. On Sunday, I would go to church with my parents, and you know it took me all the time, and I would go to youth group on Sunday nights. And at school, it was just kind of confusing to other people because they're like, I thought you were, like, you do that, but then you're like, I don't get it. In college, like, yeah, I was living one way, and then I would go sit in a Bible study and do this thing, and it just confused other people. It was just confusing. And honestly, for me, it was hard to keep track of. Where am I? What day is it? Because that affects how I dress, how I talk, and what I say. It's confusing when we tell people we're going to be obedient and follow God and we're going to trust him with our lives and give him everything as long as we're at church. And then we live our lives another way. It confuses other people. And these guys on the boat, they're confused. They're like, I can't keep track. Who are you? You love God and you're running from him? That doesn't make sense. Swimming with the current is confusing to other people. So the sea's getting rougher and rougher, and these guys, they look at Jonah and they ask him, they say, hey, what should we do to make the sea calm down? Because now they're seeking him out. They're like, okay, your God, we get your God. We see the storm and all he is capable of. We get it. He's powerful. So what do we do? What should we do to make the sea calm down? This was a painful moment for Jonah. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. He realizes, oh, okay, yeah, this is on me. None of us like that moment, right? When we go, oh, I know what I should have done, and I didn't do it. Jonah says, pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, and this great storm has come upon you. These guys had enough of a conscience in them, or they just maybe didn't believe him. They're like, I don't know if that's a good idea. So instead, they do their best to row back to the land. And I'll only just make a quick little sub point on this. We can row as hard as we want against God. We can row and row and row, and we're going to get exhausted. These guys are like, I don't know if I can still completely trust your God. I'm going to do this on my own. So let's row this ship against the storm and see what happens. But they could not, because the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord. Let's not miss this. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. Because you, O Lord, you've done as you've pleased. Then they take Jonah, they threw him overboard, and the raging sea became calm. At this, I love this part. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. So even in Jonah's disobedience, even in the face of Jonah's disobedience, these guys who were serving another god and other gods and praying to other gods, even in the face of that, when God demonstrates his power in our obedience or in our disobedience, when God demonstrates his power, and let's make note of this, it was Jonah's obedience finally, is his submission, saying, I'm going to pay for the what I've done. I'm going to give my life. We fast forward to Jesus. We see this. I'm going to give my life for you all in the boat. What happens to the storm? The storm calms and lots of people get saved. Lots of people are saved. And you could say saved from the storm. You could say get saved, because they pledge their allegiance to God in that moment when God demonstrates his power. Because here's this other reason that we need to swim upstream. The reason we need to fight the current of the world and do the very thing that God wants us to do. And here's the reason. The reason is this: because he wins. No matter how hard we row, no matter how hard we try, no matter how far we run, he wins. He wins. He wins. He's going to have his way because he loves his people. His ways are higher than our ways. He sees who we cannot see. He's going to get his way. If you like the story so far, you need to read the rest of the story, because there's this epic cliffhanger that happens at the end of chapter 1. Now, the Lord provides a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and it's a pretty big cliffhanger. I'll let you read the rest of Jonah yourself. But let's not miss this point. God has a mission for us as a church, and then God has a mission for us as individuals, a part to play. Every one of us. He sees people that we can't see. And so he says, I need you to do this. Yeah, that sounds really uncomfortable. That sounds weird. People may not like understand that. Yeah, I really don't care. Well, I shouldn't. I'm ascribing things to God that may not be his. I don't know. I picture him like, yeah, I get it. I know that sounds hard and frustrating. You know what I did? See the nail marks? Like, I did that. Can you just stop at their house and see if they're home and ask them how they're doing? He sees who we cannot see. And if we don't obey him, we might not get hurt, but other people may get hurt. And we can row as hard as we want. We can try to run as far as we want, but he will win. He gets his way. Because not only does he love us, he loves the people that we don't even love. He loves all of them. So church, let's do this. How about we live our lives on purpose? How about we swim upstream this week? Let's listen to the Holy Spirit when he nudges, when he pushes. Or maybe there's a thing that he gave us 10 years ago that we know we've tabled. We set aside and said, oh, yeah, it's the, what is the Meatloaf song? I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. How about we surrender to those things that God has asked us to do and to live our lives on purpose? And to say that, not only just say that we trust him, but act out our trust for him so that we don't confuse the world around us. Let me pray for us. God, I love you. Help us to live our lives on purpose, on mission for you, to surrender to you so we can discover what it is that you have for us, but that the people who we don't even know can discover what it is that you have for them. Help us to live our lives on purpose this week. We love you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.